T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hang on, Rami, I'm shaving. Yeah, he spent 16 years in Milwaukee at the Fan. You know him. You love him. You respect him. Who wrote this crap? Well, at least you know him. It's time for the Rami Show with Rami Makhlouf on 1250 AM, The Fan.
It sure is time for the Rami Show. I am the Rami, Rami Makhlouf, on 1250 AM The Fan, your Odyssey app, and live from the Lakeland University studios, your new afternoon show at a new start time, new producer, Sam Schmitz, on the other side of the glass, and a jam-packed Rami Show for you this afternoon. Later this hour, we'll talk some Bucks, who looked good with the big three again last night. Is that all that matters when you're watching the Bucks this year? Bart Winkler, I wasn't here Tuesday for Tuesdays with Winkler, so we'll have Thursdays with Winkler. Bart said, I was on his show this morning, as I am every Thursday at 9. He said I made him emotional today. He said I won the debate that we were having because I made him emotional. And if you can make somebody emotional, you've won the debate. So I wonder if Bart has calmed down since we talked.
I don't understand that logic.
What do you mean?
I just don't understand his point.
Because you look, when you start getting emotional and loud and screaming things, you just, even if you're right, you sound like the crazy person, I think is what he's saying.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
I was just kind of disappointed how he gave up on the whole Josh Allen thing. Just literally waved the white flag. It's like, all right.
As he should.
Nah.
As you all should.
No, nah, he should.
So we'll talk with Bart at 4 o'clock. Jason Lockenfora, Odyssey NFL Insider, will be here at 5 o'clock. And much, much more. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. We'll hear from Randall Cobb. Oh, we're going to hear from Mike McCarthy, too. Blast from the past. We'll hear from Mike McCarthy. Man, dude, did somebody put their foot in their mouth? We'll hear that a little bit later on the show. But want to start off the afternoon with some Packers talk. Do you think the Packers have figured out the 49ers? 414-799-1250. You can tweet the show at Rami, R-A-M-I-E, is tweeting. He's Sam _ Schmitz. Over there on the other side of the glass. That was the other thing. Bart said he hates when people say other side of the glass. You got a problem with that, Sam? You got a problem with the other side of the glass?
I can't keep up with what Bart hates at this point, dude. It's just, I feel like if you just look at him wrong or...
He's so angry. Why is he so angry?
Is it because he works in the mornings? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. But do you think the Packers have figured out the 49ers? 414-799-1250. You can tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan. Ryan Wood, our buddy, that dude on the Packers beat, he put up a piece a couple days ago that kind of went over the recent history of these two teams and kind of wrapped it up in a nice little package. The Packers are 3-2 in 5 games against a 49ers team coached by Kyle Shanahan, but they've been outscored by 24 points in those 5 games. And I think only 4 of them were with LaFleur. Am I right about that? LaFleur and Shanahan have only gone head-to-head 4 times, right? One of those was with McCarthy still as head coach, wasn't it? Didn't Shanahan get here a year before LaFleur, or get to San Francisco a year before LaFleur got here? If I'm not mistaken, they're 2-2 when those two coaches go head-to-head. But, as Ryan lets us know, 2 of the Packers' wins have come from last-second field goals, with the third a 17-point win when the 49ers roster was just obliterated by injuries last year. The 49ers' wins, on the other hand, have come by 29 and 17 points, respectively, and one of those, I don't need to tell you, was an NFC championship. So with that recent history in mind, my question for you is, do you think the Packers have figured out, do you think they've solved the 49ers? 414-799-1250 or tweet the Rami Show at Rami, R-A-M-I-E, is tweeting. My answer to this, and I'm one of the few sports talk guys who you'll hear say these three words, because everybody needs to know everything in this industry. I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't say. I can't say if they've figured it out, because I don't feel like Matt LaFleur has gone up against Kyle Shanahan with a full deck since 2019, since that NFC Championship. Because that team that they faced last year, and this is why when the season started, and again when the playoffs started, I had the 49ers in my Super Bowl contender group. Because that team last year was poised to make another run after they made it to the Super Bowl in 2019. They were poised to make another run and were just ravaged by injuries. I mean, that was a shell of the 49ers. And so I don't know how much stock to put in that 17-point victory last season. And then the one this year in week three, they weren't as beat up. They weren't as shorthanded as they were when the two teams saw each other in 2020, but still not the team that we're going to see on Saturday at Lambeau Field. Still a much different team and a better team, I think, than the one that we're going to see on Saturday at Lambeau Field.
We actually looked it up during the big show, like who were the inactives for the Packers and 49ers in that week three game. They were just without Elijah Mitchell and Drake Kirkpatrick, Green Bay without Zadarius Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins, and somebody else, Kevin King.
And obviously the Packers are healthier than they were when the two teams faced each other as well. I was gonna bring that up, and that's a great point, Sam. But how much room do you think there is for improvement from what the Packers were in week three compared to how much room for improvement do you think there is? How much improvement have we seen from the two teams since that point? Because the last eight games of the regular season, the 49ers figured something out. Kyle Shanahan went to his bag of tricks in terms of his playbook or found his rhythm, something. Not to mention they got Elijah Mitchell back, but they started using Deebo Samuel as like a quasi running back, and he was averaging 6.5 yards per carry, had 7 touchdowns on 53 carries. Since week 10, the 49ers have rushed for more than 100. Listen to this. Since week 10, the 49ers have rushed for more than 130 yards in 8 out of 10 games. In 8 out of 10 games, this team has run for 130 yards or more. If you look up on Saturday and there's like 150 rushing yards for the 49ers, probably don't even look at the score. Save yourself the angst and don't even look at the score if you look up Saturday and see 150 rushing yards for the San Francisco 49ers. And they didn't have, you pointed out, Sam, they didn't have Elijah Mitchell in that one. He missed a game because of a shoulder injury. And the 49ers had 67 yards on 21 carries. Since then, Mitchell led the 49ers with almost 1,000 rushing yards, 963 in 11 games. In 11 games, he finished 12th in the NFL in rushing and had a 4.7 yard per carry average. And then against the Cowboys on Sunday, went for 96 and a touchdown. My answer to the question, have the Packers figured out the 49ers, is I don't know. I think this Saturday is when we find out. I think this is the ultimate test. I think you're finally seeing Kyle Shanahan for the first time since 2019 go up against Matt LaFleur with as close to a full deck as you'll have at this point in the season, and vice versa. Just like Sam just pointed out, Matt LaFleur is getting a lot of guys back too. So this is the first time I think we're going to see both these guys' teams out there full strength and both these guys able to pull out all the stops, pull out all the tricks, not have to hold anything back, not have to, you know, dumb down the game plan because of injuries or speed things up on offense because of injuries. They're both going to have their full supplement of guys. Well, we don't know about Bosa and we don't know about Warner yet. Still waiting to hear about those injuries. Like I was saying to Toby in the crosstalk from Sparky's Midday Madness to this fine program, I'm not sure about Bosa. I would imagine that Warner will at least give it a go because you can do that with a sprained ankle. Even if it's a high ankle sprain, even if it's bad, you can run out there and then, like, you know, hobble off. Nick Bosa needs to clear concussion protocols. There are actual tests he needs to pass and clear before he's going to be able to go out there on the field. So Warner, I'm pretty sure, will play, at least in some capacity. Bosa, I'm not so sure if he clears concussion protocol. I don't know. Nobody really does, I don't think. But especially if they have those two guys out there, man. Now you're talking about a healthy 49ers defense and a front four that's as ferocious as any in this league, and they can rush for and get pressure on you. And an offense that has all the toys for Kyle Shanahan to play with and has been clicking for a good 9 weeks now, starting in week 11 of the regular season and rolling through the Cowboys last week. Both these guys are going to have their full bag of tricks. Both these guys are going to have a full roster. Both these guys are going to be able to lay it all out on the line, and we'll see who comes out on top Saturday. And then I'll know. Then I feel like I'll know if Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers have been figured out by Matt LaFleur and the Packers. Right now, I'm unsure. I think it's possible. I think they might have. But I can't say with the version of the 49ers that we've seen the last two times these two teams met that it has been figured out, that the problem has been solved, the code has been cracked. How about you? Do you think the Packers have figured out the 49ers? 414-799-1250. Tweet the Rami Show at Rami, R-A-M-I-E, is tweeting, and get in on the Rami Show on a Thursday afternoon. It's the Rami Show on 1250 AM The Fan and your Odyssey app. I'm live in the Lakeland University studios offering evening and online master's programs. Learn more at lakeland.edu/get started. Asking you right now, do you think the Packers have figured out the 49ers? I don't know. I think they might have. I just can't say because the version of the 49ers that the Packers have beat twice in a row now, not the guys that are coming to Lambeau on Saturday and not the guys who ran up and down the field on those Packers in the 2019 NFC Championship. This week, I think we find out. This week, I think we find out where this rivalry, in air quotes, is at. How about you? Do you think they've figured the 49ers out? 414-799-1250. Tweet at Rami is tweeting. Playoff football is almost here. And as you plan out your game-watching party Saturday night, now is the time to get set with all the game-watching food you need from Robert's Specialty Meats. While some like to fire up the patio grill, even in winter, Robert's ribs on a stick can be enjoyed from the stovetop or oven. Also, boneless pork ribs marinated in a thick and sweet barbecue sauce, ready in minutes, and as Leroy Butler would tell you, tender as a mother's love. Try their equally popular marinated chicken skewers and barbecue garlic parmesan, Door County, or chili lime varieties, or satisfy yourself with one of Robert's stuffed pork roasts like their awesome Al Capone pork roast, just full of zesty flavor. Call Roberts today at 262-549-MEAT for the best selection and to reserve your order. And when you visit, be sure to pick up some of their Cherrywood smoked jerky or beef sticks, the perfect snack treats, and check them out online at robertsspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for money-saving coupons and for the best in meats. Shop Roberts Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher. Do you think the Packers have figured out the 49ers? 414-799-1250. Steve is in New Berlin. He dialed that number. Now he's on the Rami Show. What's up, Steve?
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Okay.
Listen, I was looking at some stuff today, and Vegas has the Packers as 6-point favorites, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They've got this as the over-under is 47 points on this game. So for, you know, a team like the Packers and what the 49ers have been able to do, 47 points isn't a lot of total points. So I'm also looking at, I just discovered today, Jimmy Garoppolo had the coldest games he's ever started. Have been 40 degrees or
yeah,
more.
I saw that.
And the two coldest games, 40 degrees, 41 degrees, he lost them both. And I believe Bosa, we all know Bosa and Warner played in the first game. So we're worried about them being in this game. Now, to be sure, Robert Tonyan obviously isn't playing. But Tonyan, I mean, he was never known as a blocker. He was first starting to show signs of life of that in the 49ers game. Of course, when he pancake blocked Bosa on that one play. But I think the Packers have been playing, especially midseason, a violent form of football anyway, especially on defense. You can see that. Well, that's obviously how Alexander hurt his shoulder. That's how Kevin King hurt himself one time as well. Bakhtiari wasn't in that game. Now,
sure,
we don't know how much he's going to play this week. Za'Darius Smith wasn't in that game. We don't know if he's going to play. So, you know, I think it's that whole Packers fans, yeah, your favorite, yeah, but it could go south really easy. Listen, Saturday night may be the last time we see Aaron Rodgers in a Packers uniform. Nobody knows. And if you don't think they're not going to go balls to the wall all out to win this game, you're only fooling yourself. I think the Packers are going to come out angry.
Steve, appreciate the call. And I talked about that yesterday. I do think there is a sense of urgency. I brought that up yesterday too. Is that constantly running through your head now that the playoffs have started? Like this might be the last time we see Aaron Rodgers in a Packers uniform. He's not the first person I've heard say that. Is that constantly in the back of your minds now as we enter? Sam, is that constantly in the back of your mind as we enter the playoffs?
I wasn't even thinking about it until you brought it up.
Really?
Yesterday.
I didn't bring it up.
And now it's in the back of my head.
I didn't bring it up.
No, you didn't bring it up, but you chose to bring it up on the show.
I chose to bring it up again, but I didn't bring it up originally. And I didn't bring it up just now. That was the caller.
You make being a Packer fan hard sometimes.
I'm not trying to, man.
No, I know.
I'm not trying to. But it is true. It is true. That could, and I do think that there could be a sense of urgency, and I think the Packers will come out and yeah, you'll see their best effort and you'll see a sense of urgency. That doesn't mean it'll be good enough to win the game necessarily. And when Steve says they've been playing a physical brand of football, I don't know if it's been physical or not. I just know that for the last 8 weeks, it hasn't been very effective. Like, you can call it physical if you want, but does physical matter if you're giving up 27.3 points per game? I saw Leroy Butler, actually, hopefully soon to be Pro Football Hall of Famer, say he doesn't care about a physical defense. I think it was Toby or Dan who posted the quote from Leap. So he doesn't care about a physical defense. He wants a smart defense. He wants a defense full of guys who know where they're supposed to be on the field, who know their assignments and are going to be sound and be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there and make plays. Whether it's a big helmet cracking hit or a guy jumps up screaming or it's just a guy, you know, batting a ball down at the line because he knew the assignment. As long as it works, as long as it's effective, I'll take it. So I don't know what Steve is saying that makes them say necessarily that they're physical, but here's what I do know. They're giving up over 27 points a game to their last seven opponents, and that coincides, that decline for the defense coincides with the rise of the 49ers offense as those two meet on those two trajectories this Saturday at Lambeau Field. So I don't know how you can look at this defense and say it's in a better place than when these two teams met in week three. I can't. The offense, for sure. And you know what? That's more important. As I ask you the question, do you think the Packers have figured out the 49ers? 414-799-1250 or tweet the Rami Show at Rami is tweeting. The fact that the offense found their legs and found their bearings is the more important phase of the Packers in terms of finishing a Super Bowl run. That version of the Packers offense that we saw the first 9-10 weeks of the season was not winning a Super Bowl. I don't care how good that defense looked. They weren't good enough to carry them to a championship. And that offense that we saw the first 9-10 weeks of the season was not winning a Super Bowl. Now this offense is clicking. Now this offense is hitting on all cylinders and doing some of the things we saw them do last year in a historic season for an NFL offense. Still not where they were at that point, but much closer than where they were in the first half of the season. But this defense, man, and especially against the run, they've just been brutal in the final stretch of the season, the last 7-8 games. 26th in the NFL in total defensive EPA and 31st in total defensive rush EPA. They have not been able to stop the run, and this is a 49ers team that comes to Lambeau Saturday night running the ball very effectively. That's why I'm saying this is when we find out, Sam. This is when Saturday night is when we find out if Matt LaFleur and the Packers have figured out those 49ers.
Let me ask you this, too, because I know we're going off of numbers based on the past couple weeks of the regular season, but getting some of these guys back from injury, especially Whitney Mercilus, Za'Darius Smith, and a couple other guys on defense as well, Jair, even though he probably won't play much in the run defense, but how much do you think those guys, I guess, boost up that number?
I think Mercilus helps a lot in the run defense. That was something we learned very early, well, with the short window of time that they had Mercilus, before he tore his bicep, which, Jesus Christ, dude, that sounds so painful.
I hope I never go through that.
That sounds so painful. That sounds like one of the worst things you could possibly do to your body.
I thought he tore them both, too.
Both?
I thought so.
No, he didn't tear them both. How do you tear both biceps simultaneously? What are you doing? Were you curling a car? How do you tear both biceps simultaneously?
Pass rushing an offensive lineman.
That's almost like curling a car. But Merciless was really good against the run. Jair Alexander ain't going to help against the run.
I'm looking at this injury report. It said Whitney Merciless tore his biceps.
I think one bicep is biceps. If that makes any sense.
I mean,
yes.
I guess, but
I think.
Why don't you just say bicep then?
I think that's correct. I think both of your biceps are known as biceps. I think because bi is two, and so there's two muscles in there.
All right, moving on. We're not getting into this.
No, I'm serious.
No, I know. It's just
I think one of those is a biceps. I think you're right. I don't think it means he tore both of them.
I think you're right.
Okay,
I'd rather talk about this Packers 49ers matchup.
Okay. I got into a day long grammar debate on a text thread with my friends yesterday. It went on all, like, in late into the night, Sam. It started in the morning and went late into the night. I should probably bring it to the table on the show and try and hash it out here on the air. But I'll answer your question before we do that. You asked about these guys who are coming back. I think Merciless helps a lot in the run. That's something, like I said, that we did notice really quickly in the short time that he played before he tore his biceps. That he helped a lot against the run. Jair Alexander ain't. If I'm a Packers fan, I don't even want Jair Alexander like five yards of the line of scrimmage.
I'll go you one further. When I was hosting a couple days ago, somebody brought up the fact that they think Jair should be shadowing Deebo Samuel.
No. No, Deebo will take your chain.
Right. I don't want Jair anywhere near Deebo.
No. No. I don't. No. This dude.
Yeah.
No, I don't want him anywhere near Deebo. That's how you get hurt.
You mean Tyshawn Samuel?
You told me that today. His name is Tyshawn?
His name is Tyshawn.
Deebo. Who? Deebo.
Tyshawn?
His name is Tyshawn.
Really?
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't think his name was actually Deebo, did you?
I guess I should have known that his name wasn't actually Deebo, but here's the thing, man. And who else has done this? There have been other guys who do this. Like the gall. The temerity to just go around saying you can just call me Deebo. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I mean, he certainly lives up to the name
for sure. Yeah, because he looks like a dude who will, you know, take your chain and shove you to the ground. He looks like that type of, and he does that often out there on the football field with some of those stiff arms that he throws around. But like, Sam, have you had any nicknames in your life? Have you ever had a nickname in your life?
I mean, just Schmitty. Because, okay. I mean, Sam is a very common name.
Sure.
There was also another Schmitz on my football team when I was playing, too.
Yeah.
Like, spelled the exact same way. So, like, he was older than me. He was a senior. So, everybody called him Schmitz. But then they called me Schmitty to differentiate each other.
Like, having a nickname is one thing. But to just, like, for that to be the nickname, for that to be the name that you go by when you're publicly known, call me Deebo. Don't even worry about what my real name is. Like, on my card, on the graphic that you're going to put up on the TV screen, on that crawl, put me down as Deebo. You know what I mean? Like, I could never. Like,
I mean, you got a pretty unique name.
I do. Yeah, right. But that's my name.
Right.
Like, what if I was just like, I'm T-Bone. From now on, just call me T-Bone.
Just call me Ram. Instead of Rami, just call me Ram.
It's T-Bone in the afternoons. I couldn't get away with that and just never just walk around and identify as T-Bone.
I mean, it sucks when you have. I mean, Tyshawn is a unique name. I don't get it.
It's a cool name.
But
I like it.
Sam is such a common name. Like, I had a college roommate who also was named Sam. So everybody, I would introduce myself as Schmitty. And all my college friends would know me as Schmitty, and then that was Sam.
Should I call you Schmitty? Would you be
more
comfortable with that?
No, you could probably slip up and we can get in trouble on the radio. So we got to call Deebo, Tyshawn. I mean, I think if the Bucks won a championship and we were calling Trae Young Rayford We were calling Devin Booker Kendall Jenner's boyfriend.
From now on, he's Tyshawn.
He's Tyshawn.
Now on, he's Tyshawn. Does that take any cool off him, though? Because it's kind of a cool name.
I mean, it's certainly not Debo.
Jimmy, you said we should call Jimmy Garoppolo James.
Yeah, it's Jimmy. It's not even Jimmy. It's James.
James Garoppolo. I like that. No Jimmy G. Robbie Gold is Robert Paul Gold.
Yeah.
I like that.
The third, by the way.
The third. Yeah. That's actually, that makes him sound regal. Robert Paul Gold the third. Fred Warner is Frederico?
Yeah.
His full name is Frederico?
I think you're right on that one. I think we just stick to Fred.
Yeah,
Frederico. Why would you not go by Frederico Warner?
If my name was Frederico, I'm Frederico all day.
Right.
All day. Yeah. That sounds like a Latin lover. You know what I mean? That sounds like a dude who's going to, you know.
Doesn't even sound like an NFL linebacker. Frederico? It sounds like an actor.
Yeah. I would go by Frederico all day. I don't know if Tyshawn is helping, though. I don't know if we call
him
Tyshawn.
Well, okay, but Tyshawn compared to Debo?
I guess.
Everybody knows. When I say Debo, you think of that clip.
He's Tyshawn Samuel, then. Tyshawn Samuel. Fred Warner. Frederick Warner? Should we go with Frederick?
Fred is pretty lame.
James Garoppolo and Robert Paul Gold III is who these 49ers will be referred to as from here forth. I'm gonna run this grammar thing by you during the break.
I don't care for grammar, dude. I'm a radio producer, man.
Dude, you ever get into one of those with your buddies on a text thread?
Just I will
some
say
random
this.
Ass argument that for some reason picks up steam and just won't end.
If I'm talking to a woman and she doesn't know the difference between her two and two and her there or there, big turnoff.
Yeah. Yeah, man, you got to know those. Two, two, there, and there, your and your. And this was a debate of whether or not you say so-and-so and me or so-and-so and I. That would also get under my skin.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was using it wrong, and he wouldn't admit that he was using it wrong. And we went back and forth all day. He was pulling stuff out of textbooks, trying to but I was clearly right, as I always am. On the Rami Show, weekdays 3 to 6, here on 1250 AM The Fan. After this, though, man, the Bucks looked real good again last night. Like real good again. And they've looked real good every time they've had that big three. Is that all that matters? Let's discuss on the Rami Show, 1250 AM The Fan. It's the Rami Show on 1250 AM The Fan and your Odyssey app live from the Lakeland University studios. Want to cash in during the Pro Football Playoffs? Try out Giving Props, a free-to-play contest on BetQL.com. Every round of the playoffs, they'll post 10 props. Simply create an account, make your bets, make your picks for a chance to win $2,000 in weekly winnings. Plus, just by signing up, you're entered into a random grand prize drawing for $10,000. Get started today at BetQL.com/props. That's BetQL.com/props and get in on the Giving Props contest. Your chance to win $2,000 a week and a $10,000 total grand prize. Is how the Bucks look with the big three the only thing that matters? 414-799-1250. You can tweet the Rami Show at Rami, R-A-M-I-E, is tweeting. This is another question that I found myself asking this morning that I'm somewhat conflicted about. Like, we started the show asking if the Packers have figured out the 49ers. My answer to that was, I don't know. I think we'll find out Saturday once and for all. And in asking this question, is how the Bucks look with the big three the only thing that matters? You guys, if you listen to this show, and Sam, you know, and Bart, who will be here at 4, he gives me crap about it all the time. Not to say that I've ever... Sam, you wouldn't say I've ever hit the panic alarm on the Bucks this season, would you?
No.
Okay.
Just poking the... I wouldn't even say poking the bear, because I feel like that could be taken wrong. It's just, you know...
Poking holes.
Having a discussion.
Poking holes in who they might be as far as another run at the championship. Like, looking at this regular season with somewhat of a critical eye instead of just sitting back and going...
You are the champs.
You know what I mean? I've been the one who probably has done that more than anybody on this station. I've been accused of, like, trying to rile people up and get a reaction by doing that. And that's not at all what I'm doing. When I bring that stuff up, I legitimately believe it. And I have, you know, some level of concern about some of the things that have plagued the Bucks throughout this season. But then, and this isn't the first time that this has happened this season, then I'm sitting there watching the Bucks take on the Grizzlies the hottest team in basketball coming in. And Drew Holiday back after a couple weeks absence due to being in the health and safety protocol and then having a sprained ankle. And watching that team out there with the big three against the hottest team in the NBA. And probably the most improved player in the NBA. A guy who's taking that next step, going into another stratosphere in Ja Morant. And going, man, this team, they might just be unbeatable. This team might be an unstoppable force when those three guys are out there. It's like all those things that I talk about, whether we're talking about rebounding or the lack of a big man or how their offense hasn't been as efficient or as good this year. Three-point shooting has been inconsistent. Effort has been inconsistent. All those things disappear when I see those three guys get out there on the court and do what they do. And last night, I know that there were times where it got close. I never felt like that game was close. I felt like the Bucks had that thing in hand from beginning to end. And you look up at the end of the day, and Giannis has 33 and 15 rebounds and 7 assists. Chris Middleton just on fire right now. 27 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds himself. And then Drew Holiday in his return coming off the bench for 9 and 5 rebounds and 4 assists. And just like start to finish, right out of the gates, right through the finish line, just handled that Grizzlies team that came in the hottest team in basketball. And like I said, I suddenly forget about all those other things that I talk about, and I'm watching that team, and I'm just going, this is an unstoppable force right here. And I don't know which one of me to believe. I really don't, because now the Bucks, with the big three starting and finishing games, are 17-3. 17-3, including taking down the Nets, including taking down the Warriors, and they do seem to step their level of play up when they face top competition, including last night against the Grizzlies. They seem to find that next gear when they face top competition in this league. But 17-3 when the big three starts and finishes a game. And 28-19 overall. So I did the math. They're 11-16 when the big three don't play together. 11-16, dude. They're 5 games under 500. When the big three doesn't play together. And I just don't know how much of that we can just chalk up to one or two of those guys not being out there, or how much of it when we see those struggles are things that they still could struggle with when all three guys are out there on the court. Is how the Bucks look with the big three out there the only thing that matters? 414-799-1250. Tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan. So I got to step back. I got to step back and take like a 30,000 foot view of this thing and like try and put aside my giddiness when I see those big three out there on the court and what they do and how dominant they look, and think about playoff basketball. Think about, because this is not what they're going to, the style of basketball that they're playing today is not the style of basketball that's going to get them a championship. And so I have to sort of put aside performances like last night, put aside a 17-3 record when the big three play, and again, look at this with somewhat of a critical eye instead of just looking at it and saying, well,
we are the champs.
And I don't know if it's overstating things to say, I don't know if they can win a championship without a healthy Brooke Lopez. Am I putting too much importance on Brooke Lopez when I say that?
I think you are, just a little bit. And I'm right there with you, because I'm having that constant debate in my head too of like, okay, well, it'd be nice to have Brooke back, but at the same time, like, could we get it done without him? And I think we forget that, like, in a couple of those series, especially, you know, not the Nets one, but a couple of those series, like, Brooke was kind of a
non-factor,
and yeah. On defense, teams were going at him. So you saw a lot of small ball lineups against certain teams. So I don't know. I think you could probably maybe get the job done without Brooke, but it would certainly be nice to have him.
I just think what that guy does is from a defensive rebounding standpoint to prevent second possessions for teams on a trip down the court. And you're right, when they go small ball, and the Suns really exploited that in the finals to some degree. When teams will play small ball and exploit having Brooke Lopez out there and limited mobility. But when you go up against teams that want to attack the rim, Brooke Lopez changes the shots that they get and changes the shots that they take and makes things much more difficult. And like I said, takes away a lot of those second opportunities by crashing the defensive boards for you. And those are the type of things that you're going to need to do for a deep playoff run and to complete the repeat in May and June. So I don't know if they can win it without Brooke Lopez or a Brooke Lopez type, if they can go and find one on the buyout market or in a trade. And this it almost cost him last year. This inconsistent effort, man. This inconsistent energy from this basketball team is something that concerns me, even when the big three are out there. And we saw, and it's shown itself more often in the third quarter than any other time in games. For some reason, they come out in the third quarter flat. And last night they came out in the third quarter and just about put this game away. So no Brooke Lopez and inconsistent energy and effort are two things that still concern me when we talk about getting the big three back out there on the court. I don't know if they fix that or if they can overcome that to win a championship. And then the third thing is this. Are we sure the big three is going to be able to stay out there for an entire playoff run? It's kind of the same thing. Now, not to the degree, because last year the Nets and their big three played seven games together over the course of a 72-game season. But they played 27 games without the big three all out there together, and only 20 with. And COVID can hit any team at any time, so that's the great variable that's out there. But this, I mean, Giannis missed time with injuries. Chris Middleton missed time with injuries. Drew Holiday just missed some time with injuries. It hasn't just been COVID that's hit this team. And I remember in the offseason, before this season even started, talking about the mileage that's on these guys and how long last season went for them. And then Chris and Drew going to Japan to play in the Olympics and extending the season even longer, and then an unusually short offseason in the NBA because they're trying to get the schedule back on track and back to what we know the NBA schedule and calendar to be. Are we so sure that they'll be able to put the big three out there consistently for an entire playoff run? Because I'm starting to wonder about that. I'm starting to wonder if some of this stuff is catching up to them. So for as dominant as they look when those three guys are out there, I can't say that's all that matters. It makes me feel a lot better about this team when I see those guys go out there and steamroll other teams. I think it's as good a big three as there is in the NBA right now. I've said that before, and that goes a long way in winning you championships. It's a superstar-driven league, and I think the Bucks' top end of the roster is as good, if not better, than anybody else's. But I can't say it's the only thing that matters. It goes a long way in building confidence that they can repeat and win another championship. But I can't say it's the only thing that matters. Is how the Bucks look with the big three the only thing that matters to you? 17-3 now when Giannis, Chris, and Drew start and finish a game together. 414-799-1250. Tweet the Rami Show at Rami. R-A-M-I-E is tweeting and get in on the show on 1250 AM. The Fan. That guy right there that you just heard, Bart Winkler, will be here on the Rami Show in just a few minutes, 4 o'clock. He'll join me. I wasn't here Tuesday, and I need my weekly Bart fix here on the Rami Show, and so do you. So he'll be here at 4 o'clock to shoot the breeze with me for a good half hour. We'll also hear from Randall Cobb. We'll also hear from Matt LaFleur. Asking you right now is how the Bucks look with the big three the only thing that matters? 17-3 when those guys are in the lineup, but just 11-16 when they're not. 414-799-7999-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM. The Fan. Don't ask me what that was. I don't know what that was.
Sounds like a pretty cool song.
7999. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tally's Tap and Eatery. Thursday is their special on boneless wings plus tall boys on tap for just $2.50. Follow them on Facebook for other updates. Tally's Tap and Eatery, Sunset Drive in Waukesha, is what they do with the big three. The only thing that matters when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks. 414-799-1250. You can tweet the show at Rami, R-A-M-I-E, is tweeting. Sam, is it all that matters to you, what they do when those three guys are out there?
So I'm still having a battle in my head of like how I should answer this, because I think it's the most important thing that we should keep in mind when we judge this team. But at the same time, I'm still curious, like you were talking about before, I'm still curious about how they address this void on their roster now that DeMarcus Cousins is, you know, now that he's gone. I wonder who they're going to bring in and how that affects this team. But as I was asking myself, and I want to get your thoughts on it, it's like, even after the trade deadline, like, this team can't get any worse, right?
No, right. They're not going to get worse. I think, I mean, barring injury, obviously, yeah. That's always a possibility, but I don't think this team gets any worse.
I think so. I think when we're judging this team, I think it only matters really when all three of those guys are healthy. I think that really is the only thing that matters. But like you said, I mean, it's not a given that they're going to be healthy for the playoffs.
That's probably my main concern, is that I don't know that we can just. Last year, I sat here all year, and told people, like, look, this. Everybody's talking about how good this Nets big three can be when they get out there on the court together. But y'all are just assuming that they'll get out there on the court together, when the vast majority of the time they couldn't have those three guys out there on the court at the same time. So I can't sit here and look at a Bucks team, you know, and put my green and what's the other color that the Bucks use? Do we know? Is it cream? Green, cream.
There's a little bit of blue in there.
I can't put my Bucks colored glasses on and act like. Oh no, it's fine that they've played more games without the big three than they have with the big three, and it won't be a problem keeping all three of those guys out on the court at the same time. I do gotta wonder, it is in the back of my mind, if all these minutes and all this mileage has a weird schedule, NBA calendar is taking its toll and is catching up with these guys. The other possibility is the Bucks are well aware of that possibility, and so when these guys do have an injury, I don't know the degree to which Jrue Holiday's ankle was sprained. I don't know the degree to which Giannis's knee was hurting when they sat him out for a few games. I don't know the degree to which Chris Middleton was hurting. Maybe they see the risk and the possibility of this mileage and a weird NBA calendar catching up to him, and so they're just playing it real safe when these guys feel anything and just saying, why don't you take some time off and we're not going to worry about the regular season so much. I stand by what I said before, that if this team isn't a three seed or better going into the playoffs, I don't know what they'll be, but I'm going to have some questions about this basketball team. I don't know what those questions will be exactly, but we can only treat the regular season like it doesn't matter to a degree. You know what I mean? We can't treat it like it just doesn't matter at all. And when this team is sitting there as a five or a six seed, we're all just going, no, that's fine. Nothing wrong here. Everything's fine. Then I think we're being a little bit delusional. I need a three seed or better for this Bucks team. Not for seeding, not for a home court, not for any of that. I just for my peace of mind, I need a three seed or better when all is said and done. No? You're looking at me like that doesn't matter, Sam.
As long as they're not like fifth or below, I don't care where they finish.
I'm telling you, man, if they're fifth, and I don't know what it is, that means that something went wrong. That means something is going wrong with this basketball team. They shouldn't be fifth, dude. There's no way that they should be the fifth seed in the East. It's just not. Something will have to go wrong, and something that's a cause for concern in terms of the quest for a repeat for this team to finish worse than third in the Eastern Conference.
Which is why we shouldn't think about it.
Just put blinders on?
Well, like you said, something's got to happen, and I don't want to think about it.
Should we just tell jokes? Should we just sit here and tell jokes?
Oh, I know where you're going.
I don't know if I love this or I hate this when Giannis does this.
You know, I don't know if it's getting better or worse.
Oh, it's getting worse.
He used to do that for Media Day, right?
Yeah, every Media Day he'd have another joke. He didn't this year. He didn't have a joke this year. I guess he's been working on this one since Media Day.
I got a joke, but I don't know if I should say it or not. Should I? When the cows go out, where do they go? Anybody know? To the movies. It was bad. My bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's That was pretty bad, dude.
I was thinking, like, if I was in the media room yesterday, how would I react?
Oh, you laugh. You laugh.
You do, because you don't want to be that guy.
Even if it's not funny, you laugh.
I think out of all of his jokes, I love Giannis. I love Giannis.
That's up there.
Can't underestimate that.
That's up there with... That's maybe his worst. I don't even remember the other ones, but that's quite possibly the worst joke that Giannis has ever told.
It's sad to say, but I think so.
Do you get less funny when you become a dad? Is that because you hear the term dad jokes all the time, and those are never good. I mean, unless they're so bad that they're good. You know what I mean? Is that what it is? Is Giannis becoming even less funny because he's got two kids? Does every kid diminish your funniness?
Do you think Bart has become less funny since he's had a kid? Careful. Careful.
He's not connected yet, is he? No, he's not. No, he hasn't connected yet. He's angrier. I mean, you noticed it too. You pointed it out too.
Yes.
He's angrier. I don't know if that is a result of the kid. I don't know if that's like, you know, he's seeing the world that his child is going to grow up in and he doesn't like the direction that it's going in. And so that makes him angry. I don't know what it is. And I don't know if it's directly related or if they just correlate, you know, the timelines correlate in Bart becoming an angrier, more vitriolic, venomous type of person.
I think I'd become grumpier if I had a kid. You got to change the kid's diaper. You got to, you know, deal with random outbursts of, you know, craziness and all that.
I said this to Bart before. Like, I'm older. I have a good I don't know how old Bart is, but I think I have a good 5 years on Bart. And... What? As I've gotten older, I have less energy to get upset and angry about stuff. Like, I know that these news networks that traffic in anger and like and fear, their prime audience is like older people. And I don't even understand that, because as I get older, Gary Ellerson used to say something all the time on the Wendy's Big Show when I worked with him. Like, when Sparky would be all riled up about the Packers and he'd turn to Gary and go, "How are you not so angry about this?" And Gary would go, "Man, I got grown-ass man problems." As I get older and I got bills to pay and just less energy, I'm devoting less of that energy to being angry and being upset. And it's just not, I don't have it. I don't have it in me, dude. Like, for some reason with Bart, and it seems like with most people, if you look at the ratings of all the major news networks, people are getting angrier as they get older and looking for things to be angry about and expending energy on being angry about things as they get older. But you know one thing that Bart is feeling actually really good about is the Green Bay Packers. You heard the promo. Bart all week has left zero doubt that the Green Bay Packers are going to beat the 49ers on Saturday night in the divisional round. Zero doubt. I'll see how much of that is real. We'll see if we can scratch beneath the surface of a Bart Winkler and see how much of that bravado when it comes to the Packers and the 49ers is real when we have Thursdays with Winkler right after this on The Rami Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.